ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
So we are reading today from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, entitled The Creation of the Fourth Order, Chapter 23, which is called Prithu Maharaj's Return. Ja, das wäre super. Falls ihr mich da hört, könnt ihr entweder die Tür zur Küche zumachen oder im Didi-Vorraum ein bisschen. Dankeschön, das war nett. Sorry, Mataji. Okay, and so the chapter is called Maharaj Prithu's Going Back Home. And the text number 14, so we have no verse, unfortunately. We are not so nicely prepared. Okay, Sanskrit. Sampidya payung parshni biyam vayum utsarayan chanai nabhyam koshtesh avastapya rit uru kanta kirshani. Okay, if someone has it, you can also chant. You have it. Maybe you can chant also. Sampidya payum parshni piyam.
Sampidya payum parshni piyam.
Sampidya payum parshni piyam.
Sampidya payum parshni piyam.
Vayum utsarayan chanai.
Vayum utsarayan chanai.
Vayum utsarayan chanai.
Vayum utsarayan chanai.
Nabhyam koshtesh avastapya.
Nabhyam koshtesh avastapya.
Nabhyam koshtesh avastapya.
Nabhyam koshtesh avastapya.
Rit uru kanta shirshani.
Rit uru kanta shirshani.
Rit uru kanta shirshani.
Rit uru kanta shirshani.
Okay, please.
Sampidya
payum parshni pyam.
Vayum
utsarayan chanai.
Nabhyam koshtesh avastapya.
Ritura kanta shirshani.
Sampidya payum parshni bhyam.
Vayum utsarayan chanai.
Nabhyam koshtesh avastapya.
Rit ura kanta shirshani. Sampidya.
Sampidya.
By blocking.
Payum.
The door of the anus.
Parshnibhyam.
Parikavs. Vayum. The air which goes up.
Utsarayan.
Pushing upward.
Shanai.
Gradually.
Nabhyam.
By the navel.
Kosteshu.
In the heart and in the throat.
In the heart and in the throat.
Avastapya.
Avastapya.
Fixing.
Fixing.
Rit. In the heart.
Uraha.
Upward. Kanta.
Throat.
Shirshani.
Between the two eyebrows.
So now the translation. When Maharaj Prithu practiced a particular yogic sitting posture, he blocked the doors of his anus with his ankles, pressed his right and left calves, and gradually raised his life air upward, passing it onto the circle of his navel, up to his heart and throat, and finally pushed it upward to the central position between his two eyebrows. Wow. Very interesting. So sitting on the ankle, how was it said? On the anus? to block the life air that doesn't go out, actually, yogi process. And then do the meditation. Yeah, it's completely blocked. You do it also when you do pranayama. There's certain techniques that then you keep the vacuum inside the body, and that air doesn't go inside. You also close the, it's called muladhara, huh? Muladhara. Also the anus, so you keep it together. No? And then you can feel that the prana is working inside. And then you have to close like this also, so there no air goes here inside and from. And yeah, it's interesting. Mystic yoga. Okay, purport is a little long, so I will go maybe paragraph to paragraph. It's easier for digesting the information. The sitting posture described herein is called Muktasana. In the yoga process, after following the strict regulative principles controlling sleeping, eating and mating, one is allowed to practice the different sitting postures. The ultimate aim of yoga is to enable one to give up this body according to his own free will. One who has attained the ultimate summit of yoga practice can live in the body as long as he likes, or, as long as he is not completely perfect, leave the body to go anywhere within or outside the universe. Some yogis leave their bodies to go to the higher planetary systems and enjoy the material facilities therein. However, intelligent yogis do not wish to waste their time within this material world at all. They do not care for the material facilities in higher planetary systems, but are interested in going directly to the spiritual sky, back home, back to Godhead. And this was the first paragraph. Srila Prabhupada explains about this mystic yoga, Muktasana, so the sitting posture which Prithu Maharaj used here, which is described, it's called Muktasana. The asana, the sitting posture of mukti, of liberation. And that the yogi, who is very advanced, he can leave his body by his own will or stay in his body as long as he understands, I'm not perfect, I want to use this time to perfect my existence. And then when he is ready, he says, okay, now I go. And then he leaves the body. It's very interesting, the concept or the understanding of dying in Vedic culture. They have no problem with it. When I started reading Mahabharata, remember, it was like, you never read that someone is howling, oh, it hurts or something. You know, they are getting shot the whole day, and in the evening they plug out the arrows and put some herbs on, and the next day they keep on doing it. You never read of wailing or dying, oh, it's they are terrible. Maybe Mahabharata doesn't...
Dressing black for a week or half year.
Yeah? Like okay, Okay, there's maybe they are sorrow if someone dies, but I mean the individual pain is not described. Either it's not described or always understood they don't have it or something.
And once they have more tolerance, maybe?
Yeah, they're very tolerant, definitely. And once I read into the Homer, and there was one battle described in the beginning, or the Odyssey, one of these two. And there's one battle described in the beginning, and it's like ghastly and horrible, and everyone's crying, and so oh, and in pain, and cut arms described, but they're like, oh, it's so terrible. No, but they have no hang-up with this, and also no hang-up with dying. Because it's so ingrained in a Vedic person, so to say, that there is no death. There is no finality. Because of it's so ingrained, it's so deep inside. The Bhagavatam, of course, is a transcendental literature which is not giving in to material pains and sorrows. It's not concerned with this at all, which is also Krishna's first point to Arjuna, who is giving in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita to material problems. And he says, oh, I cannot fight. This is very bad. I don't want to do this. I don't want to kill the people. And this is where Krishna immediately says this, what's the verse? You're speaking like a learned man, but actually you're a fool. What's the Sanskrit? What is it starting? Very important verse. I can't remember either. No, it's okay. No, but what Krishna says to Arjuna, translation is that you're speaking like a very learned person. You're speaking like if you're very intelligent and very educated and you give very good reasons, but actually you're a fool. But actually, you're a fool. Actually, you're not very smart. Because the wise are not lamenting neither for the living nor for the dead. Because both is actually irrelevant. Actually, it's not only that we lament so much, oh, my grandfather died, or now this war is going on, so many people died. And it's from one point, it's bad. Of course, we don't want to be artificially transcendental. But we just look now from an intellectual point of view, not that I want to say I'm there or I can disassociate with the pains and sorrows of the material world. But just the view of the scripture is, it's not lamenting for anyone dying. The transcendental vision doesn't care for anyone dying and for anyone living either. It's equally bad. Actually, it doesn't make a difference. Because the soul is changing a body and body and body, and what's the difference between dying and living? It's both illusion anyways. So this is actually what the scripture wants to bring us to, the consciousness, because then we can become free of these pains and sorrows and pleasures of the material world, which is always dragging our consciousness in. The material world is always dragging our consciousness in. It wants that we identify with the world. And this is very bad. Because when we identify with the world, with our body and the world, we'll be always in trouble. So this is wants to cut. The scripture is shastra. It's a weapon which wants to cut our connection to the material world. Because we are not connected anyways. From the transcendental point of view, we are not the body, we are the soul. And we belong to Krishna. And the yogi understands it very, very deeply, and not just understands from the intellectual point of view, but he understands it by practical experience through his meditation. And we should be yogis. Actually, we are yogis. Yoginam api sarvasham matkarin antaratmana. Means the best of all yogis is one who is worshipping Krishna. A bhakta is the best of all yogis. And what is the preliminary understanding of a yogi? I'm not the body. And he experiences this in his meditation. He experiences, I'm not the body. And so he can disassociate very nicely and has the spiritual experience. So in our japa also we should, of course we focus on Krishna. These other things are not so interesting. We want to hear the holy name. But the side effect is that we don't identify anymore with the body. And we become detached from the body and the pleasures of the body and the pains of the body. Tatenu kampamsu samikshamano. It's a long verse, I don't want to quote the whole. But it said, if you experience pains, then you should not judge and you shouldn't blame Krishna. You should worship Krishna. Because you understand, everything belongs to Krishna. He's in control of everything. He is in control of me and he gives me no pain. And the Lord is very good. But he gives me pain. So what will we do? We will blame Krishna. And we cannot avoid it. I'm very saintly, I love Krishna. No problem, no. If you experience pain and you understand it's coming from Krishna, you will be maybe a little fried with Krishna. But the advanced devotee is no problem. And in this verse it said, he offers obeisances with his mind, with his speech and with his body. With all he has, he offers obeisances, even though he's suffering. Like, I can experience this a couple of days ago, I experienced this again as very often on book distribution. And book distribution can be so painful. Yeah. Every step is a dance, every word is a song. It's sankirtan, it's said, in the spiritual world. But it can be pretty tough too. And then you realize, and then what is a devotee doing? What is a devotee doing when he has a problem? What would you do if you have a problem? You chant. Meaning? Meaning? Yeah, you take shelter of the Lord to pray to him and just say, please help me.
Yes.
So this the Sangha devotee does also, especially when it's not working. And I was doing this. Actually very intensely. And now when I look back, it was very good that to bring me in such a situation to pray again very intensely. And what? Krishna was not doing anything. I said, Krishna. And then I saw again the demon inside who is always rebelling against Krishna. As long as everything works out, oh Krishna, I love you. You're so wonderful, so nice. But if it's not working out, then understand it's him because he controls everything. And we will get a little bit upset. And we cannot accept it. You're good. No? Everything the Lord is doing is good. And then I do, be tolerant. So, That's the position of the yogi, and this is described here. This is pretty much doing. So we keep on with the purport. From the description in this verse, it appears that Maharaj Prithu had no desire to promote himself to the higher planetary systems. He wanted to return home immediately back to Godhead. Although Maharaj Prithu stopped all practice of mystic yoga after realizing Krishna consciousness, he took advantage of his previous practice and immediately placed himself on the Brahma Buddha platform in order to accelerate his return to Godhead. And just a side point, yoga and pranayama and all these things are actually a step before the meditation. Nowadays, of course, we know this, it's just a fake. Actually, it's just all these yoga societies, all this is just fake, because it thinks it's just to keep the body and the mind, make the body and mind happy. But actually, the yoga asanas and the pranayama is to steady the mind and the body that you can worship Krishna then, and you can chant. This is actually why it's for. So we as devotees can use this also. And we are doing it actually. Like when we chant japa, what should we do? We should be in a temple room. Best is sitting, second best walking is also okay, it's no problem. But we are in an atmosphere where there's sattva guna, where the mind is not agitated. We don't go, I have to chant japa now, and we go on the highway, on the Raststation. It's not recommended. So we should create an atmosphere where we can chant very nicely and be not distracted and have a nice, can offer the Lord our devotion through our japa. And we should worship Krishna through His holy name. And we should be very aware of the sound vibration. And we should bring the mind always back to the holy name. And then with time, more and more, Krishna reveals Himself. And we become very grateful and humble. Actually, when we chant nice japa, we should become very humble, understanding the grace we got, which we don't deserve. The more we chant, the more we understand how wonderful Krishna is and how not wonderful the self is.
What means humble?
Demütig. When we chant, because then you see how wonderful is Krishna, and then you see that in comparison. Because in the illusionary state, in Maya, we want to compete with Krishna. In Kämpfen, konkurrieren. This is why we're here. Everyone wants to be Krishna. Krishna is in the center, we want to be in the center. Krishna is very beautiful, we want to be beautiful. Krishna is very rich, we want to be rich. Krishna has many gopis. We want many gopis. This is like the perfection of the existence. If you are like a sultan, very rich and very powerful, and you have a harem, this is like perfection. This is a complete imitation of Krishna, who has his harem. Of course, it's on a different platform, but he has many beautiful girls. And we want this too. This is the sinful desire. We want to compete with Krishna. And then when we see more clean, and in delusion, we think, of course I can compete with Krishna. What's the trouble? I'm also cool. I'm also good. But when there comes more enlightenment and real knowledge, and you see really the difference between you and Krishna, you say, my God, how can I cannot even, you know, at all compare myself. It's like if you are an Aussie. Yeah. And the Aussies were very proud of their Wartburg. What's it called? Yeah? Wartburg. Yes, we don't care about the West with their Mercedes. We have our Wartburg. So it was very good, very proud. Yes, drives very well. Huh? It's called illusion. Huh? It's called Maya. Then when you put a Wartburg next to a Mercedes, then you see it's quite some difference. So, but the difference between this is not as big as between us and Krishna. The difference between us and Krishna is so incredibly big, but in illusion we compete. We're so crazy that we compete. Like the Aussie with the Mercedes. No problem, on the freeway I will drive next by him. No? This is called illusion. But this is what we are doing all the time. We want to compete with Krishna. So when will we stop this competing with Krishna? And it's on a very different platform. It's very deep. It's very, very deep. And so the chanting, we realize this more and more. Where we are in this rivalry with Krishna. And where we are envious of Krishna. And we have the atheistic mood, and where we're actually enemies of Krishna even. This should be realized more and more. This is the reason why we're here. Because we hate Krishna. And there's still hate in our heart. It has to be purified. Okay. The aim of this particular system of asana, known as the sitting posture for liberation, or mukta asana, is to attain success in Kundalini chakra, and gradually raise the life from the Muladhara. Oh yeah, here it is. said in the beginning, Muladhara chakra, is the anus chakra, the base chakra, and the down there, to the Svadhisthana chakra, then to the Manipura chakra, the Anahata chakra, and Vishuddha chakra, and finally to the Agya chakra. When the yogi reaches the Agya chakra, between the two eyebrows, oh, Prabhupada says here, why here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Anyway. When the yogi reaches the Agya chakra between the two eyebrows, he is able to penetrate the Brahma Rantra. Oh, no, Prabhupada gives the... So it's actually here, no? Who knows this? Because in the Western, in these esoteric traditions, they say there are 7 chakras. But according to Bhagavad and Vedic understanding, it's actually 6 chakras. 6 chakras, main chakras. When a yogi reaches the Agya chakra, okay, and then in the Brahmarandra, or a hole in the skull, and go to any planet he desires up to the spiritual kingdom of the Vaikuntha or Krishnaloka. So this was the yogi's doing. He meditates and then says, okay, now I'm done. And he leaves, he goes out through the head.
Like a rocket.
Like, yeah, a powerful rocket. And then he is out, and then he goes wherever he likes. He used this material form, the body, to perfect himself. And this is what we should do. We are yogis. This is what we should do. Like a yogi. Imagine this traditional yogi we know from Bhagavad Gita, you know, when he leaves and he's sitting there since ages. But we know the yogis, they're sitting in a cave. What are they doing? They meditate all the time. And then maybe they take a little bath, eat a little bit wet, maybe not, and meditate. It's not they say, oh, okay, meditation over now, and then they go home now. Facebook, oh my God, it took again 2 hours. Okay, meditation again. And then think all day with Facebook. No? And then, oh, what I do? Okay, I call my this and that, whatever. But this is what we are doing. We should be yogis like this. But what we are doing, chanting our chakra, and then, okay, Facebook, spacing out, and wasting time. No? A yogi should not waste time. He uses any moment, any second for Krishna. This is amazing. This is such a high platform. Prabhupada quotes this verse afterwards also. If we do this, if we are always engaged in devotional service, we will transcend the 3 modes of material nature and become situated in the Brahma Buddha platform, on the spiritual platform. But only it's that avyabhicharina, if it's uninterrupted. If we are always engaged in devotional service without interruption, then very quickly we will transcend the material modes and be spiritual, be above the material modes. But if you always stop our devotion practice by space out and put in the space which we outed Maya in, we make a space and put in Maya, and then we will always be distracted. We push ourselves always back. So the more advanced we are, the less time we waste. And the more intensely we use any moment also. You know the difference between chapa and chapa? You know, sometimes we have good chapa, and we say, well, today chapa, it worked more, and I dedicated more, it was more intense. And the space out chapa is when the mind is going here and there, and it's not so intense, it's not so focused. So the yogi and the advanced devotee, actually the bhakta, he uses every moment very intensely for Krishna. Taking shelter of Krishna, chanting, reading, absorbing the mind very strongly and deeply in the spiritual sound of Krishna. The conclusion is that one has to come to the Brahma Buddha stage for going back to Godhead. However, those who are in Krishna consciousness or who are practicing Bhakti Yoga, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, can return to Godhead without even practicing the Mukta Asana process. So this is the nice thing. We don't have to do this Ashtanga Yoga, Prabhupada called it here Kundalini. Process, we don't have to practice, we just do what we're doing. This is perfection of yoga. The perfection of yoga, to follow the daily programs, chant the 16 rounds, all this. Read the Bhagavad. This is very powerful spiritual practice. And Prabhupada quotes here, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Pada Sevanam. Everyone knows this verse. It's a very important verse, which mentions the 9 processes of devotional service. It's a verse that's spoken. Who knows who spoke this verse? Everyone knows the verse, but who spoke the verse?
Chaitanya?
No, it's from the Bhagavatam. It's from the Bhagavatam. Shravanam, Kirtan, Vishnu, Smaran, Parasyam, Arjuna, Dasya, Vasakya. Yeah, Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj. He tells it to Hiranyakashipu. Good preaching. This is what he tells. That just, Father, you should do this. 9 processes of devotional service. Very powerful. And Hiranyakashipu became quite upset. So what are these 9 processes? Hearing, chanting, remembering, thinking about Krishna, Vishnu Swami, Pada Sevanam, meaning worshipping, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, and Vandanam, means praying, Dasyam, serving, what else? Atmanivedam, giving everything, Sakyam, friendship, having friendship with the Lord, Arjanam, meaning
worshipping.
And I forgot. Anyway, an interesting is there's mentioned that for every of the 9 processes there's an acharya, someone who perfected this. So maybe we can go through this. Very interesting. So first is shravanam, meaning hearing. So who is the acharya for hearing, the best hearer? Yes, Parikshit Maharaj. Sham kirtanam, and for chanting, who is glorifying Krishna the most wonderful? Shukadev Goswami. And then Vishnu Smaranam, thinking about the Lord, who was perfectly engaged in. No. Prahlad Maharaj. Yeah. Also a small boy. Pada Sevanam, then. What comes next? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, yeah. Who is worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord most nicely? Always. Massaging the lotus feet of the Lord.
The snake.
No.
Lakshmi Mata.
Yeah, Lakshmi. Yeah, she. Always massaging the lotus feet of the Lord. Imagine, this is your service. Massaging the lotus feet of Vishnu. He lies on the snake bed, Ananta Shesha, and he's relaxed, and you massage his lotus feet. So this is what she's doing. Of course, we cannot kick her out. We can serve her doing it. And maybe she says, okay, I'm a little tired, you do it now. This can happen. Nice. Then what is? Palasevanam, Vandanam, I mean praying, perform very nice prayers. Who is the acharya for praying? No. Not him. Remembers who he was on the way to Krishna, and on the way he started praying and made wonderful prayers and was completely in ecstasy, and then he came to Vrindavan to Krishna. To take Krishna away. He is the biggest enemy of the gopis.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He is the biggest enemy of the gopis. The gopis don't like Akrura because he took Krishna away from Vrindavan. Yeah. And they say, why is his name Akrura? Because Akrura means non-violent.
Non-violent, yeah.
He is so violent, his name should be Krura. He's horrible. And when Uddhava came then to Vrindavan, he came also in a nice chariot. And the gopis saw the chariot and said, oh, there he is again, it's Akrura. And then so it was Uddhava. They were like, who is this? So yeah, Vandanam, then what else? Archanam, meaning worshipping the Lord in like altar service. Who is the acharya for this? It's a little tricky, not so obvious, not so. It's Prithu Maharaj. Prithu, we're reading around. He was the acharya because he was a king, of course, an avatar of the Lord, and what he did was to engage the whole world, the whole country, the world, in deity worship. He institutionalized, says, okay, this is now the process, and we have to all worship the Lord. Imagine whole Munich is engaged in worship of Shishikonitai. Whole Munich. First we need a bigger building. Yeah? First we need a bigger building, big altar,
very big.
A very big building like the Allianz Arena. Yeah. This will like this, but nice, not this ugly, whatever it should be. A very nice big temple in the center, behind the Stachus, or on the Stachus. Yeah. And so all the crowds who come from this Fusker, Kaufinger, they will see Gornitai already, and they will stand there in the morning, Govindam Vadipur, and everyone has to come. And then Charanamrita, and like this, and Kirtan, in this big temple. And then they bring donations, and imagine. And then we are the priests. But this is how it should be, yeah. This is how it should be. The devotees should be the priests of the Lord who is worshipped by the whole country. So this was Prithu Maharaj, this is what he was doing.
But he was Kshatriya.
Yeah. No, he was not the priest, but he was facilitating. This is what a Kshatriya has to do. He has to facilitate the worship of the Lord and engage everyone in the worship. Mm. The Brahmana is just saying, we need this, that, what the Kshatriya is doing.
Yeah.
And everyone is doing. So this was what Prithu was doing.
Like Puri. Hmm? Like Purim. Jagannath Puri. There's a king and the Brahmanas take care of Jagannath.
Yeah. You make sure
the whole town should be somehow engaged.
To some big degree it is still happening, of course. It's Kali Yuga, but there is a good example. There's this temple in the center and everyone is coming.
Yeah.
It's very nice. This is how it should be. Yeah. So what else we have? Arjun Dan. Dasyam. Dasyam means serving. Who is the best servant, it said, best servant, Dasya, of the Lord? Kijai! Yes, that's true. But from this Shastric point of view, it said Hanuman. He is, it said, the Acharya for Dasya. And what else we have? Then Sakyam, meaning friendship. Who is the best friend of the Lord?
Arjuna.
He is the best friend of the Lord. They are they are like really good friends.
Yeah.
So many things we could tell now about Arjuna, but yeah, of course. And then we have, and in the end we have Atma Nivedanam, meaning surrendering yourself, surrendering everything to the Lord, who is the Acharya.
Bali Maharaj?
Yes, it's Bali Maharaj who gave everything.
Yeah.
So it's nice to have this meditation on these different processes. Actually, it should be like this, that for us, we should be, especially through the Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, all this, read about these advanced devotees and become inspired. This is Sadhu Sangha, and we become very much inspired to surrender more to Krishna in any way. When you read about Akrura, and you're inspired, oh, I want to also pray to Krishna, and you use his prayer, or you pray yourself, when you hear about Krishna, Arjuna's friendship, and all this, it should inspire us to surrender more. Okay. The purpose of Mukta Asana practice is to come to the Brahma Buddha stage, for without being on the Brahma Buddha stage, one cannot be promoted to the spiritual sky. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 14.26, Manchayo Vyabhicharina Bhakti Yogena Sevate Sagunan Samatityetan Brahma Puyaya Kalpate. The Bhakti Yogi practicing Bhakti Yoga is always situated on the Brahma Buddha stage, Brahma Puyaya Kalpate. If a devotee is able to continue on the Brahma-Buddha platform, he enters the spiritual sky automatically after death and returns to Godhead. Consequently, a devotee need not feel sorry for not having practiced the Kundalini chakra or not penetrating the six chakras one after another. As far as Maharaj Prithu was concerned, he had already practiced this process, and since he did not want to wait for the time when his death would occur naturally, he took advantage of the Shat Chakra penetration process and thus gave up the body according to his own free will and immediately entered the spiritual sky. So this is the point of all of Prabhupada's teachings, to practice Bhakti Yoga, that we can in the moment of death think about Krishna and go back to him. It's like the whole point of what we are doing. So we should be very aware of our practice and help others to understand the same. This is actually the whole point. It's interesting, what Prabhupada gave, it's so easy and essential. Prabhupada was not making many schnörkseln, yeah? not many things around and flowery. No, Prabhupada was like, this is the point. Chant Hare Krishna, follow the four regulative principles, so that in the moment of death you can think about Krishna and go back. This is the whole thing. And until you are there, you have to do something, because you have a lot of time, and the best is if you preach this knowledge. This is the best. You follow the practice yourself, and then preach, and purify consciousness and go back to Krishna. This is the whole point. This is the everything. And
it's so easy.
It's so easy. Yeah, it's so simple. Prabhupada said, because one day was, oh, Krishna, Prabhupada, you said it is so easy and this and that. When did I say this? I said, it's simple, but it's not easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very simple, but this makes it even more difficult, especially for our complicated minds, when something is very simple.
And for the complicated is where we are living in.
And yeah, and it's getting even more and more complicated.
So. It's difficult if we attach it to material.
Yeah. So the better, the less attachment, the better. Be more and more detached and get rid of what we don't need. Yeah. That we don't have any hindrance in the moment of death. Okay, thank you very much for your attention. Any questions or something to add?
This is the Brahma Bhuta platform, which where we, as follow the Krishna consciousness. Whoever properly follows, he is already in the Brahma Bhuta platform, is it?
Yes. Prabhupada platform is, of course, a spiritual platform where there's no reaction anymore involved beyond the three modes of material nature. And when we practice Bhakti Yoga, there's no reaction to our activities. We might still experience activities or reaction from the past. Because someone might say, oh, I'm on the spiritual platform, fallen everything, but still have problems. How is it possible? It doesn't work. But we have to understand it's called, I always mix it up, it's called prarabdha karma. From the past. And Prabhupada gives the example of a ventilator. And when you plug out the electricity, it will not get any more power, but still it turns. And it needs some time until it stops turning. So it's for us, we stopped now karmic activities, but still there's some karma from the past, and some things of this we have to experience. Many things Krishna takes away because he sees it's not necessary anymore, because karma is for education. And when he sees, Krishna sees, oh, he understood. So certain things we don't have to experience anymore, but certain things which are helpful for our spiritual life, Krishna lets through and we experience certain pains and pleasures.
Is anybody who can say himself that yes, I am spiritually, I am now at a spiritual platform completely? Or is it not it's a very non-humble statement?
No, from the technical point of view, we can say this because it's Shastra. But it's the mercy of the Lord which puts us there. It's not I'm so great and it's the reason why I'm on the spiritual platform and beyond. No.
So nobody should say like this. Or they can say like this. Somebody can say like this.
Depends how we understand it. If you understand it as the mercy of the Lord and understand as the power of Bhakti Yoga, it's no problem. But the reason is not your greatness, but it's the mercy.
Yeah.
So in that sense, it's important that we say this also to people because it's an important part of our preaching. Because what you say, oh, it doesn't work. I chant Hare Krishna, but I'm so bad, I'm so fallen, I'm still suffering, it's so bad. Who will take it?
Yeah.
The truth is, chant Hare Krishna makes you free of all problems. Right. It frees you from all problems. Krishna says, Sarva Dharma Chacha, Mami Kamshana, Moksha Ishai, Mashuchaha. He will free you from all karma. He liberates you. Do not fear. This is our preaching, so we have to preach this. But we never preach with our personal example. Only to show people that it works. What I tell people often, I say, it works, I can experience it, it works. Since I do this, I have no problems anymore. Really. I had but certain degree of problems, especially mental problems in the material world, attachments and this and that, and frustration and anger. Yeah. And since I followed Bhakti Yoga, it's almost gone. Some little bit there, but it's no problem. It's tolerable.
Tolerable.
And other things, so many problems we had, or who had no problems, and suddenly, Krishna takes it away.
So something would be there.
But it's not just that the problems go away, that happiness comes, the ecstasy, the happiness, what we experience in Krishna consciousness, we never had before. So these two things, no problems, and very, very nice experiences.
That's true, yeah.
Okay.
Like we want this point, have this ability to leave body at any time. Should we?
No.
No.
Because we don't force this. We just engage. This is the next point. That our philosophy is, according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, birth after birth, so we don't force this. This is not our concern. The more we advance throughout, the less this is our concern. Our concern is Krishna consciousness, serving Krishna. So you serve Krishna all the time, you think about Krishna, you chant His holy names, you read about Him, you're not concerned about anything else. You're so absorbed that even when death comes, of course you can understand it comes and you even get more absorbed, but it's not that we force death or push Him away or something. We accept whatever comes in this situation, but try to be as Krishna conscious as we are, can be. So we will not force the death or meditate, leave the body or something like this. As Prabhupada says, this is not from a different age also. Because to do this, you have to, it's not easy. You know, to practice this yoga, you have to do many, it's Ashtanga yoga. And before this, pranayama and leaving body and all this come so many other platforms, yoga, asanas, this and that. This is not our process. Our process is kirtan, sankirtan. This is our process. And when you chant and dance and die in the kirtan, very good. We have the mess, but you have the fun. Good for you.
It's happened somewhere.
I heard once, I never know if it's true, but I heard once there was a devotee. He was in Vrindavan for, it was Chamashtami or Radhashtami. Radhashtami it was. And he was on Radha Kund, and it was a huge kirtan, and he left his body in this kirtan.
Mirabai left body by kirtan.
Mirabai. Tukaram, I think, also.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Tukaram, yeah.
But this devotee, what I said, this is interesting. It was Radhastami, it was Radha Kunda, it was in the kirtan.
And old guys, or?
I think he was not so old. He just left the body. Or Gaur-Govinda Swami, good example. Yeah. He was just leaving the body like this. Krishna just took him. He was... He was speaking. He was kind of giving, he was given a darshan with his disciples. It was in Mayapur, 1996. And he was speaking about Krishna, very nice Leela. He was very advanced devotee, Gaur-Govinda Swami. He was sitting on his bed. And he was speaking about this Ratha Yatra, the story why Krishna, this is like his, not his version, but this Orissa version of Ratha Yatra, Krishna going to Vrindavan. And then he meets Radharani after such a long time. And when they meet, and it becomes, of course, very ecstatic meeting. Sambhoga it's called, no? Krishna's meeting with Radharani. And then they looked each other in the eyes, and Maharaj became very ecstatic when he described this meeting of Radha Krishna, and then he said, oh, kirtan. And then the devotee started doing kirtan, so it was too ecstatic for him, he couldn't speak anymore. He was lying back on this on the bed, like this, no? And it was kirtan, 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 and Maharaj was not getting up, and he was looking, he was gone. He left the body. I don't know, 70. And then the doctor came and said, yeah, he's gone. And he says he was healthy. There was nobody realized that he was or something, nothing. Yeah, he was speaking about Radha Krishna. He was very ecstatic. He said, kirtan, he lied back and he left. What's that? So this is, Krishna took him, you know. But in such a situation. And this story is true. It's 1996, everyone told it was not such, just some legend or something. So if you advanced. Well, so many other devotees.
Like Gaur-Govinda Maharaj, he didn't know, he was meditating about exactly, and he didn't know where he's going. But when I'm just a yogi and want to go to a higher planet,
but
that means you have to know the place you go, right? I mean, he has to make a connection, but how does he know about the different planets? And I want to go to this planet.
Just this mystic process, but it's also said that to go to the planet, you worship the demigods, so somehow you have a connection, they show you. Normally it's said, what's the verse? Yantri? Anyways, there's a verse about Gita, you worship the demigods, you go to the demigods.
You worship the ancestor, then you go to
the ancestors. Yanti, Deva, Ratan. Anyway, so somehow, and it's mystic, and who knows what was, is beyond, before you leave the body, how much realization and inside in the universe you have,
visions,
and before this kind of they are leaving body and seeing the demigods.
Is it like a book or different planet?
Oh, there is where I want to go, yeah. Tourist guide.
Yeah.
How much money I have on the bank account? too much. No, this is my money.
He was speaking. Yeah. He was listening.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that is how it goes. Yeah. How much punya do you have? Punya. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Prabhupada.
Grantarachiyon Bhagavatam K.
Jai.
Srila Prabhupada K.
Jai.
Jai Go Brahmanande.
Nanda Krishna Prabhu K.
Srila Prabhupada K.